Hello and welcome to It's a New Day with Kathy Barnett. Stay with us. We have so much to talk about and you don't want to miss any of it. Get ready to call us at 610-539-TALK. Hello again. It's a new day on 1180 WFYL. Here's that number again, 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. It's a new day. So it's hump day is another name for Wednesday. You're almost there. Hang in there. The weekend is right around the corner, right? Yes. You know what, guys? We are never short of content for this show where we kind of like take a look at various articles or various newsworthy events that is going on around us and then just kind of add some commentary from a Christian worldview, from a conservative worldview, from the only worldview that really makes sense, right? But listen, I am in the studio today, by myself, so get on your phones, call me, let's talk, 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. And what's one of the first things we have up to talk about? You know, the new election 2016 presidential polls came out yesterday, September 1st, Tuesday. By the way, my birthday is right around the corner. Woo! You need to get some like applause when that comes on, Russell, when I say that. Okay. I'll throw that out there again. When I grew up as a kid, let me tell you, I mean, we did the thing when it was birthday. I mean, we had the cake, we had the parties, we had all the relatives come. Okay, Russell, thank you very much. That's enough now. But we just had a blast, and you know, and it's so hilarious because now, you know, I mean, and really it was just going into the backyard, putting up some tables and chairs and making a homemade cake with some homemade hot dogs, some homemade biscuits or pizzas. I grew up in the very rural south of Alabama, and everyone just came. Maybe you had balloons. That was like a huge treat back then. And then today, you know, I have some young kids, and now, you know, when we go to these parties, they're so elaborate. Or what we generally do is we pay upwards of $300+ to go to these various kid-friendly places and let them entertain our kids, right? But it's like $300-$400. It can get very expensive very fast. So I digressed because I was going to talk to you about the election 2016 presidential polls, but then the thought came out, my birthday is right around the corner, so yay me. But here we have it. Let's look at it. Donald Trump, I mean, the man is, I mean, it looks like he's unstoppable. Out of one of the polls, the Iowa Republican Presidential Caucus, they did a straw poll, and Donald Trump is at 25, the results. Carlson is at 18, Cruz 7, Walker 6, Bush is at 10, Rubio 4, Rubio and Huckabee are at 4, Paul is at 2, and so forth. So the spread there between Trump and the nearest candidate, Carlson, is a spread of 7 points. But then we also have the 2016 Republican nomination from a poll done by Public Policy Polling. And here they have Trump at 29, Carlson at 15. So there's a spread between Trump and his nearest candidate of Carlson at a spread of 14. So needless to say, by various polls right now, Trump is the undeniable leader. Now, interesting enough, the 2016 Democratic presidential nomination, a poll done by Public Policy Polling, Clinton is at 55, Sanders is at 20. I can't even believe it. So there's a spread between Clinton and Sanders at a plus 35 spread, a spread at 35. So that's that. But that's just so interesting because, I mean, you know, you have Clinton, which is, I mean, it's like, really, that's not even making a decision between two evils. It's just two wrongs, just two just incredibly wrong candidates. And yet Sanders has a result of 20. It should be like negative 20. But there are those in our country that think a democratic socialist is a good thing. And I don't even know if he is a democratic socialist or just a plain socialist. But also, let it be known, we have another presidential debate coming up in about 2 weeks on Wednesday, September 16th. Wednesday, September 16th is going to be at the Reagan Library Republican debate, aired on CNN and Salem Radio. So we have another Republican presidential debate coming up in September 16th. So get your calendars ready for that. Hopefully this time we have a little bit more substance that comes out of these pollings and not so much of an attack or just kind of a gliss. I think that's one of the things we missed out on the first Republican presidential debate was substance, just kind of figuring out who these people are, what they really stand. And I think, Donald Trump is being disinvited to so many events is almost difficult to kind of keep up with his disinvite list lately. Again, let me give you that call in number 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK, because I know there are a lot of Christian / conservative people that are really for Trump. And so I know you may take issue with what I'm about to say, which I welcome. So please feel free to call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK. And that is this. I think one of the things that our Republican base need to realize or need to begin to ask themselves, instead of being so quick to demonize Trump and to disinvite Trump, we need to begin to ask, why is it that he's resonating with so many listeners or so many voters? Why are people actually taking him serious, right? Because can you really look into his face and watch him talk and take him serious about things? But people are. To the tune of a spread of 14 between him and his nearest competitor. And I think one of the very attractive things about Trump is that he says what most of us are thinking. He says it out loud. He's unapologetic about it. He appears to have a backbone, because in our culture, appearance is all that really matters, right? We don't really care if you really do have a backbone or not. We just want you to have the appearance of something. And so nonetheless, he has the appearance of someone that has a backbone, says what he wants to say, unapologetic about it. And he is saying what most of us, myself included, are thinking. But I've been really paying attention to, he just had a debate, not a debate, but a rally not too long ago. So I've been really listening to his rallies, really listening to his comments. And really what you have are just these quick kind of these little quick jabs, these little quick comments, very, very headline worthy comments, but essentially just a headline. Very little substance does he ever provide. They're just kind of really, really, to the gut comments that comes out, and there's not a whole lot of substance or layers to what it is that he's saying. And I think that as we begin to have these debates, if the other candidates can pick up on that and begin to expound on their positions on immigration, not just that it's highly, retarded and foolishness to just open up your border than allow anyone to come in and have these sanctuary cities. I mean, like, that's just, it defies clear logic. But not just that, because that's just a headline. That's just a blurb. But to now begin to add layers to that, layers of substance, and then to begin to challenge Trump to add layers of substance, not just provide a headline that of what we're all thinking, that these things defies common sense, but what are you actually going to do? How are you actually going to get the people behind you? what are your policies on turning the economy around? Not that you have, you know, a very successful business owner who has defied bankruptcy four times by using the law against bankers, but how exactly do you intend to get us from where we are, which is at the mercy of China and various other countries, and to bring and our manufacturing? I mean, it's one thing to say bring our manufacturing back home, but how do you really intend to do that when these other countries, you know, kind of have us by the throat and aren't going to release that anytime soon? How do you intend to go in and take back what belongs to us? So beginning to move him from just the headlines, providing some substance, I think for across the board, we will begin to get a really good understanding of who it is, who these candidates really are. Again, the call-in number is 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. I'm in the studio right now by myself. I would love to have someone to come in and to begin to kind of help me expound on these topics and to give us some insight, because I'm one of the things as a professor, as an adjunct professor, when I would teach, I would encourage the students, if you're thinking it, trust me, many others are thinking the exact same thing, but you got to kind of get it out there. We also, when we come back, stay with us, we're going to be talking about, can you believe it, R.C. Sproul Jr. and Ashley Madison? Yeah, that's really crazy, but stay with us. We'll see you on the other side of this break. Hello and welcome back. You're listening to It's a New Day on 1180 WFYL with me, your host, Kathy Barnett. The call-in number is 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. Let's turn real quickly. We moved from the presidential debate again. That next debate is going to be on Wednesday, September 16th. It's going to be aired on CNN and Salem Radio, I believe. The same people that were monitoring, the moderators are going to be the same. I'm not sure. But nonetheless, set your clock to that and stay informed. So let's turn real quickly, because I just thought this was so interesting. And, well, you know, actually, before I get there, let me just I don't even know how these people got my email address. But nonetheless, periodically, I get information from various atheist groups, various reason thinking people, quote unquote. And the recent one I got, the subject said, godless groups raise a record $1,800 for local schools in need. So it piqued my interest. I started reading it, and it said, Central Iowa Coalition of Reason member, Iowa Atheists and Free Thinkers, IAF, they just raised in record $1,800 in cash donations to provide to fund the fourth annual school supply drive, as well as a homeless shelter they provided money for as well. And what I thought was interesting, because, see, I mean, I think any and everyone should contribute, right? It doesn't have to be just that you're a Christian and you contribute or support various support worthy activities, but anyone, right? It's not like Christians have a market on being able to support organizations. Anyone should, right? Regardless of what your religious affiliations may be. But nonetheless, I think it's always interesting that other groups outside of the Christian community make an issue about religion. And then they say, you know, religion has nothing to do with anything. Yet they make it an issue. So the comment by the director of this of this atheist group says, the ethics of non-theism is more than just realizing that the society, world, and universe is a bigger, brighter, and more amazing place than all the make-believe ideas. So, of course, alluding to the fact that Christians have make-believe ideas. Helping with such community events allows secular people to make connections and do something more than just wishing things would change. And I'm thinking as I'm reading this, why can't it just be people making connections and doing something good for the community around them? Why does it have to be an attack on whether you believe there is someone greater than yourself or whether you believe you are as good as it gets. You are your own God. But nonetheless, he goes on to say, when we stand together to provide assistance for people in need, it gives a voice to people like us and encourages other non-theists to stand up for who they are. What makes atheists and non-believers so exciting is that we don't have a dogma to guide us, but our own logic and reason. That's his statement. And I thought to myself, I mean, because again, it's very interesting that those who says it's not about religion always tend to make it about religion. Their whole existence is based on there is nothing greater than ourselves. We are the center of our own universe and we will use logic and reason and they are guided by that. But then I thought it was interesting that it said that we are so excited that we don't need a make-believe God. He says we don't need to have a dogma to guide us, but our own logic and reason. I just thought to myself, well, dogma is a set of principles laid down by an authority that are absolutely true, that they're unquestionably true. And I thought it was interesting that he would say we don't have a dogma, but in fact, you do have a dogma. I mean, they're making it about religion. We're not making it about religion. I mean, they decided to make it about religion, but then say it's not about religion. And I thought it was real interesting that he says we don't have a dogma. We're so excited that we don't have a dogma. We don't have any set principles to guide us, laid down by some authority, but they themselves are the authority in their own lives. And they have this set of principles that tells them that there is nothing greater beyond themselves and that they themselves are the center of their universe and that they can decide, what is true, what is not true, using, as he says, their own logic and reason. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting. I wanted to bring it up because I remember when President Obama was running for, it was his first time. He was in the primaries and first time running for president in the first primary. And he made a statement that still resonates with me today. And that is, I am a blank slate for the American people to write upon. And I thought to myself when I heard that, that's not true. No one is a blank slate. If you talk to my 6 and 9 year old kids and ask them anything about, I don't know, abortion, or ask them anything about, God or stealing or lying, they have a perspective. They have a point of view from which they will answer that question from. And they have that point of view because their father and I have been very studious about writing on whatever blank slate they may have came out of the womb with. So they don't even have a blank slate. It's a sad commentary if you're 40 plus and talk about you're a blank slate. No one's a blank slate. We all have a world view. Whether we take ownership of that or not is something completely different. Whether we recognize that we're not blank slates, but that in fact, when something crosses my path, I look at it and I make a judgment about it, whether it is good or whether it's bad, whether it's something I want to do, whether it's something I want to stay away from. And I'm making these decisions based on a particular point of view. Now, if you are a Christian, your worldview, the Word of God, should be the lens through which you look at everything, right? Instead, what we see in the Christian community is that we compartmentalize, right? We have church on Sunday, and then the rest of the week is for me to do whatever I want to do and to live however I want to live, to go wherever I want to go, to dress however I want to dress, to act however I want to act, to talk and say whatever I want to say because I'm my own person and no one can tell me what to do. But that's not an accurate biblical understanding of what it means to be a Christian, because in fact, not only am I a Christian from 8 to 10 when I'm at church service. But in fact, I'm a Christian 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, even with the leap year. And as such, the Word of God is like the lens, the glasses through which I see everything, right? And that becomes how, and that guides me on how to judge certain things one way or the other. So anyway, spent way more time than I wanted to on that article, but I just thought it was so interesting that, you know, again, you know, being so beyond ourselves, we think we're above having being guided by anything, when in fact either I am being guided by God, someone greater than myself, or I'm guiding my own self, or I'm being guided by someone else. But none of us are just free floating radicals out here. We all subscribe to a dogma one way or the other. It's just whether or not I recognize that to be the case. So again, you're listening to It's a New Day on 1180 WFYL. That call in number is 610-539-TALK. 610-539-TALK. When we get back, we're going to talk about, again, that Ligonier ministry thing. Bye. Hello and welcome back. It's a new day on 1180 WFYL with your host, Kathy Barnett. Call in at 610-539-TALK. 610-539-TALK. Okay, so we're going to turn our attention real quickly to the manhunt underway in Fox Lake, Illinois. An officer was fatally shot. I'm sure you guys have seen this, but a manhunt for three suspects continued into the night after a police officer was fatally shot in far north suburban Fox Lake yesterday morning. Police say the suspects described are two white males and one black male, and that they should be considered armed and dangerous. Now, what I thought was interesting is that this particular police officer was shot by two white males and one black male. And if you look on social media today, you would think it was three black men, period, or just one black man, period, because this has immediately turned into another quote unquote Black Lives Matter kind of movement. And now this particular officer, the Lake County Sheriff's Department identified the slain officer as 52-year-old Lieutenant Charles Joseph Glenowicz, a 32-year veteran of the force and married father of four sons in their teens and early 20s, who was well known and liked in the community. He was nicknamed G.I. Joe, and was really, you know, an additional sad commentary. One, and also what was notable, let me say that first, that he was, he left the military with the rank of first sergeant, so he's a veteran. And another sad commentary about all of this is that he was set to retire at the end of this month, at the end of September. And he responded to a call of three suspicious people in the area. And by the time his backup got there, he was injured from a gunshot wound. And again, this has immediately turned into a Black Lives Matter movement. And people saying that, I mean, it just, again, it defies logic. Once again, it just doesn't make any sense. And I just saw a news article where Rosie O'Donnell was blasting one of her fellow commentators because she said that Black Lives Matter is a hate group. And so Rosie O'Donnell was defending the Black Lives Matter. But it is a hate group. Now, do Black Lives Matter? I'm a Black woman, and I have black children and a black husband and black family, and I can say unequivocally, yes, Black lives matter. But does that somehow negate white people lives mattering? No, white people lives matter matter just as much. Do Asian lives matter? Yes, Asian lives matter. Does Hispanic lives matter? Yes, Hispanic lives matter. We all matter, right? Not just Black lives matter. And I know that this is just a hashtag and it's out there blowing up, but I mean, it is really the mindset of the culture, because I am talking to friends that in any other given time are very rational people, but then we start talking about the Black Lives Matter movement, and suddenly people lose their senses. Suddenly they start speaking gibberish to me. What they're saying sounds like gibberish. I know you want to get in here. The call, the number is 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK. This morning I was looking at social media, and I saw that a very prominent young Black man, Dr. Mark Lamont Hill. He's a Morehouse College professor. He's a CNN commentator. He's a host of BET News and Huffington Post Live. He's the co-CEO of Elite Voices, executive producer for Colored Boys, born in Philly. And he has over 197,000 followers. And his comments, he's for Black Lives Matter movement. And one of the things I thought was interesting is that in the wake of this police officer being shot and killed, leaving his family behind, he says, "Our moral vocabulary is large enough to denounce senseless killings of police without ignoring the issue of state violence against Black bodies." So immediately, this officer that was gunned down, murdered by two white men and one Black man, immediately this issue has now become a Black Lives Matter mantra. It's under the category of Black Lives Matter. Now, again, you would think this was just three Black men that shot this white police officer, but it doesn't matter. It's another opportunity to kill a white man. And so as a result, it becomes a black and white issue. And I just think it's really ridiculous. I think we have a caller on the line. Rosemary, are you there?
Yes, I am, Kathy. How are you this morning?
I am doing well. Thank you so much. I know it's early, but thank you so much for thank you so much for calling in. I know that you have something to share with the listeners on this senseless murder of a police officer. I think in your neck of the woods.
Yes.
Yeah, talk to us.
Yes. Well, my son has four dear friends who are kind of like my adoptive sons, who are police officers. And this, what's been going on in the media with, you know, the hatred toward policemen, these guys go in it with heart. They want to help people. They don't want to hurt people. And to be, lately, it's just a slam dunk constantly that all cops are bad. You know, that's not true. In any given profession, you have rotten apples. Right, Kathy?
I don't care
if you're a doctor. I don't care if you're a teacher. There is bad in everything. But to label all as, you know, with like racist, it's not true.
It's not true. You know, I mean, and I think that's a very valid point. I mean, I spent many years on Wall Street, professor of a university, worked in corporate America, work in churches as a theologian. And you're right. In every single walk of life, every single area I've been in, I was in the military for over 10 years. There are bad apples. There are good apples on Wall Street. There are bad apples on Wall Street. There are good apples in the university setting. There are bad apples in the university setting. There are good pastors and there are some bad pastors. Yeah. But to walk around labeling a whole profession by the acts of a few bad is wrong.
Yes, it is. And these guys yesterday, there's a lot who are off duty, who are taking time away from their families to go help find the perpetrators of this horrific act, and working, one of my son's friends worked over 12 hours on his day off to help find these people. So the community, it's not just about them. It's about keeping the community safe.
I mean, because what happens? I mean, like, what happens if we begin to say, okay, listen, your life matter, but your life doesn't matter? Well, we already say that, I guess, with abortions. But
right.
But let's just say with those who, because let me tell you, every single time when I'm running out of a bad situation, police officers, firefighters, they're running into the bad situation.
Amen.
And we expect them to run into the bad situation while I'm trying to run out of the situation. But what happens when those we place on them the burden of protection, but now we begin to say, well, it's open season on your lives. Anyone can just take your life and it'll just fall under the category of you deserve it because you're white.
Mm-hmm. No, that's insanity. I mean, my son's friends wrote this last night. He said spent 12 very humbling hours in Fox Lake today. Words cannot express my sadness. Now, I mean, that alone, it's not a lot, but this tells the heart of these guys and these police officers. They're there trying to do everything they can. It's not just because of their fallen friend, but it's about the community, about keeping the community safe. They had all the schools on lockdown, and in fact, today they canceled schools because they want to make sure the children are safe. How do you put these children on a school bus until these gentlemen that did this are in custody? How do you risk the lives of innocents?
Yeah, you know, I mean, and again, as I was saying right before you came on, Rosemary, is that a very prominent young black doctor, he's a professor at Morehouse, again, a CNN commentator, he's on BET. So he has a very significant platform. He has over 197,000 followers on Twitter. And in light of this senseless murder, he says, I'm disgusted that some people are exploiting the recent tragic murder of police officers to avoid accountability for white supremacy. Black Lives Matter is a principled humanistic struggle. It is a mass movement to resistance to state violence. I mean, it's like talking about apples and oranges. I'm over here talking about this police officer who was running into a situation to provide order and stability with just gunned down. Now, all of a sudden, you're over here talking about oranges and rainbows. You're over here talking about something that is unrelated altogether. We should have a heart that is bleeding sympathy for this man and his family and for our community, as you're saying.
Right. And Kathy, you know me. You know me well enough. I'm an encourager. I see all the hatred out there. I see those that, you know, we have a smoldering fire and they run up and they pour gasoline on it.
Hey, Rosemary. Yes, Rosemary, hold that thought. We'll be right back. Hello and welcome back to It's a New Day with me, your host, Kathy Barnett, on 1180 WFYL. Here's the call-in number again, 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK. And right now I have Rosemary on the line with me, kind of helping provide some context for how to think as we're looking at the very heinous, unnecessary, brutal murdering of a police officer in Fox Lake, Illinois. And, you know, and again, the commentary just on this particular police officer, his name, he is a 52-year-old Lieutenant Charles Joseph Glenowicz, a 32-year veteran of the force, married, father of four sons in their teens and early 20s. He was well known and liked in the community. They called him G.I. Joe. He was an Army veteran who served in active duty in the reserves. He left the military with the rank of first sergeant. And just another sad commentary about all of this is that he was scheduled to retire at the end of this month. He was married for 26 years. And this is a life. And, you know, as I look at this, as I look at, you know, these heinous videos coming out on Planned Parenthood and what they're really doing behind closed doors and just a heinous activity. And I'm just seeing, you know, I'm just kind of sitting back and just kind of watching our culture. And there's just a lot of callousness of the hearts of people. Our hearts have waxed cold to these things. We see it. We say, oh, that's sad. Okay, what are we having for dinner tonight? And we just kind of move on with our lives. And these are real lives, real people. And I just see a sense of cruelness about it, to the extent that even with this police officer that was shot as he was responding to a call. So he's going to provide assistance. And in fact, and instead he is shot down by three men, two white, one black. But you would think they were all black, because all over social media right now, this is now falling under the category of a Black Lives Matter movement. And it's all about the movement and the people, and white people are supremacists and they have what's coming to them. And it's really, just really sad. Rosemary?
Yes. Well, you know, the thing is that you have these people, literally, you have a smoldering fire and they're pouring gasoline on it. And like I said, Kathy, you know me, I'm an encourager. God has gotten me through so much in my life. I know what it's like to hear discouraging words and to be put down and, you know, all those things. But I can tell you firsthand, when we use the word of God or we use scripture in an argument to counter what's going on, it stills the situation. I will not back down from my faith, nor using the word of God to give people comfort, to show, you know, that God can transform. And it just breaks my heart when I look on Facebook and on certain issues, there's just so much hatred and spewing going on. But I think the word of God calms people. I mean, I have a lot of people on my page that are not necessarily quote unquote Christians, and I put things out there every day, either in Bible verses or I write things, and they listen. They may not want to admit it, but they listen and they read. So I, you know, instead of stirring up trouble in a time that we need to join hands, no matter what our race, creed, or color is, we need to stand together in unity saying this is wrong.
This is wrong. And the ultimate word there being stand, not just hit like on Facebook or retweet
right.
on Twitter, but to take a stand, to begin to move in the way and to begin to provide covering and encouragement and assistance, help to mm-hmm. what is going on all around us. And I mean, it's just really a very sad commentary. You know, I was working with my kids last night on a class project. We were looking at the Fertile Crescent, and a part of the Fertile Crescent was the Mesopotamia. And so we just kind of drilled down and started looking at Mesopotamia. And what we found out is that, one, tradition says it is, it's the home of Eden, but it was very fertile. And it is actually credited as the first civilization. And so we drilled mm-hmm. down on the word civilization and we got to reading about that. And to have a first civilization, you have some form of the community around people coming together to build a community. And a part of that is to have some resemblance of order, some resemblance of we come together, we make up certain rules and regulations that we all as a collective body agree to adhere to. And I'm like, okay, well, that's dating all the way back to 18,000 BC. It, you know, credited as the first civilization. And this is what they knew, to come together in order to have a community. You have to have some semblance of order. You have to have a line in the sand that you say, we will not, as a
right.
collective community, cross over this for the greater good of the entire community. And so as I was thinking about my children's homework exercise that they were doing, and then taking into consideration what's going on now with the Black Lives Matter movement and this war against all white police officers. And it's like, what kind of community, what kind of society are we going to have and hand over to our children if we now have one that says we will not have a sense of order and that you can just make up the rules as you see fit?
I know. And what breaks my heart is putting the divide, labeling the colors again. I mean, you know me, Kathy, I don't care. You know, the people's hearts. Why are we bringing up things that we thought were worked out, you know, putting the great divide again, you know, with race in it again, you know, when you, I have so many friends of so many color, and I don't judge by color. And I think it's so wrong to do that. And it breaks my heart to see all this happening. It's just so sad. It makes one go to your knees and weep. People are people. Let's take color out of the equation. We're human beings, and we all deserve dignity and respect! Exclamation point.
Exactly. I have my producer in here shaking his head, basically saying, amen, Rosemary. It's so true, right? I mean, when we begin to pull back the, you know, I mean, one is that, you know, I'm not blind. So I recognize that, that someone may be white, someone may be black, yeah. Someone may be
we
Hispanic,
all...
da, da, da. Because you know what? God obviously loves diversity.
Yes.
Yes, I agree.
To stand there and say, well, oh, you know, I don't recognize that you're a person of color, or I don't recognize that you're an Asian person or a white. You know, that's part of who God created. We're all different, but that is our uniqueness. I mean, that is the beauty of you, and that is the beauty of me.
Yes, right? But if I'm going to make a judgment about the person of Rosemary, I need to look beyond the color of her skin and see the content of her character, what she says, what she does. Does she have a good heart? Is she a nice person? These are the things that I teach my children. I mean, when you're around this person, do they make you feel good about yourself? Are they nice to you? Those are the things that we should be looking at as we're making a judgment about what kind of person we're contending with. But in our culture, and especially with this Black Lives Matter foolishness.
Right. It should be the color of a person's heart, because that's how you tell. Because when they open their mouths and their actions could speak totally different.
You heard it here on It's a New Day. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to It's a New Day with your host, Kathy Barnett, on 1180 WFYL. The call-in number is 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. And right before we go into the spotlight of our day, I wanted to just bring Rosemary back on real briefly. She was saying something to me as we were closing out, and I just thought it was worthy enough for her to come on and just kind of share it with everyone as we kind of put a bow on the previous hour's conversation about the whole Black Lives Matter movement, as well as the police officer that was shot dead in Illinois yesterday, and now there's a manhunt for these three suspects who were only because, you know, and it's kind of a sad commentary to have to say it was two white men and one black man. We should just be able to say, you know, it was some thugs, some useless individuals who decided to take the life of another person. Mm-hmm. But in our culture today, you know, it's so we've just kind of so sensationalized the concept of hatred. And so now everything has a color attached to it.
Right.
But Rosemary, how did you want it to end us?
Okay, while we were on break, and I was just pouring through my heart, how could I say, what can I say to people? So this is what I wrote down. Judge not by the color of one's skin, but the color of one's heart, for it will reveal one's true colors through words and action.
It is so true. Thank you so much, Rosemary. But you're
welcome.
Absolutely correct. I mean, if you want it, I was just talking to Russell. He is getting ready to, I'm going to put your business, I won't say much, but getting ready to take a very pretty girl on a date. And I was telling him, forgive me, Russell. But I was telling Russell about the representative. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the representative, but the representative is the person that, you know, when you first meet someone, they always open up the door for you.
Mm-hmm.
They're just so nice. They bring flowers. Mm-hmm. They laugh at all your jokes. They just think you're great. But then maybe about 6 months later, the representative goes away because he can't stay there forever.
Mm-hmm.
He goes away, and then you're left with the real person. And the way that you begin to know the real person person. It's just giving time. You will begin to see by their actions and their words who this person really is, right?
Yeah.
But in our
In
our culture, we tend to fall very quickly, in our Hollywood culture, we tend to fall very quickly for the representative. And then we're shocked when the real person shows up. We're like, wait a minute. I fell in love with the representative. Who are you?
Yes, yes.
But that is
somebody else.
I know, right? So thank you so very much, Rosemary.
Well, thank
we appreciate you,
Kathy,
you calling
and have a blessed day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Yes. So, okay. All laughs to the side. But I do think that I love telling very young, you know, starry-eyed young people who are in about the representative. It's an opportunity to educate. Just wait long enough to see the real person. They're in there and they're going to come out. Trust me. But nonetheless, now we're going to turn to that time in our show when we put a spotlight on organizations and people that are doing great things in our community. And joining me in the studio right now is Joanne Bryson. Hello, Joanne.
Hi, Kathy.
Thank you for so much for being here. I take it you are not new to coming in and talking about and talking to the WFYL listeners.
This is my second visit here. I was here last December.
Okay. Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
Let me tell you a little bit about Joanne. Joanne is a CPA for the past 30 years, and she is the owner of Curves in East Norton since 2002. Professionally, she is a member of the Pennsylvania Institute of Certified Public Accountants. She is also a certified weight loss coach. I told her I'd be talking to her after this show. And a corporate mentor, training helping to train new Curves owner. Personally, she is a committed Christian, a mom, a wife, a daughter, and what is this, a knitter?
I'm a very avid knitter. I even have it in my bag today.
What? Okay, so I think it may be easier for us to find out more about you just by starting with what don't you do?
Oh boy,
that's, you do so much.
I do.
Maybe a shorter list if we start off with just starting. Well, what? I'm kidding.
That's
well,
okay.
But what don't you do? I love that though.
That's really funny because I was talking to somebody yesterday, and you were talking about just now about the representative, and sometimes we get into a relationship and over the course of time it changes. And I was talking with my manager yesterday at Curves, and people will say, I didn't sign up for this. Well, yeah, when the representative goes away and we see the real person, I didn't sign up for this. Well, what I said yesterday is that my husband probably really didn't sign up to be doing all the laundry and the cleaning, but those are not really my strong skill sets. So I'm very blessed to have a husband that really is very good at keeping the house clean and the laundry done.
Because those are some of the things you probably don't do.
I don't. And a lot of it has to do with time. So it's a matter of prioritizing time. I am not going to be knitting afghans. I knit wrist warmers and leg warmers and scarves and pot holders and other things that can just be carried in my purse and do, be done really easily. And that's because I have to prioritize my time.
You know what? We're about to get on a topic that is a little bit different than what you came in here to talk about, the CPA and your business Curves. But it's a topic that is resonating very high on my meter of things. And I think most women, and that is prioritizing our time. Because, the old adage I grew up with was, just finding balance, find your balance. Mm-hmm. The older I get, the more I realize there is no such thing as balance. There's never like a 50-50.
Never.
50% here, 50% there. It's like 49, 51.
Yep.
It's like 60-40, 70-30.
Exactly.
On how I guess it's the art of knowing how do I prioritize, when you have little kids, when you have a young family.
Absolutely.
You have, different responsibilities, and it always looks so much more attractive to look outside of your home and putting your energy on those things than it is to put your energy in your home. But in fact, that's where the bulk of your prioritizing should go to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And really, as women, we do so much for everyone else, and we have to feed ourselves before we can feed everyone else in our lives. So the, there are days when I really don't, over the years I have spent some really intensive time in Bible study. And there have been years when I've said, okay, I can't commit to being in Bible study, you know, in a structured program 3 to 5 hours a week, plus all the time that it takes outside to be prepared for. Exactly.
You are, talk about, now we're talking about guilt as a Christian, right?
Because exactly.
You can't spend you between Satan and my own mind, you get beat up because, you know, you're not a good Christian.
Exactly.
If you don't have that same level of intensity.
Yes, but I am going to start my day with, you know, 5 minutes of time in prayer and Bible study just to get myself focused. So that has to be the number one priority on a daily basis, being right with God. And when I am dealing with a member at Curves who is struggling, not all of my members are Christians, but, you know, I'll say to a Jewish member, do you read the Psalms? You know, are you making the time to be in God's presence every day? Because God feeds us. It doesn't matter whether we are a Christian, whether we are fully living for God. But on a daily basis, if we will turn to Him, He will feed us. And that is the start. I can't serve other people, whether I'm serving as an accountant, serving as a Curves owner, putting drops in my dad's eyes because he's going through cataract surgery, or, you know, dealing with the stresses in my kid's life or the stresses in my husband's life. I can't deal with that unless I have been fed myself, and it's God who feeds me. So it might only be 5 minutes, but I'm going to make those 5 minutes count.
You're speaking so much truth, so much wisdom, speaking directly into the middle of my life right now. It was so interesting. School just started back with my children. We're part of this organization called Classical Conversation. I homeschool, but we kind of come together, the community, on a particular day. And it was so interesting. We're all sitting there, and as a way of introducing ourselves, all the different families, they asked the mothers to in addition to giving your name, to say something, you know, a hobby, something you like doing. And every last one of us struggled to think of something we do for ourselves on a daily basis. We're all just, you know, just burning the midnight oil, and we're usually very exhausted, thinking to ourselves, okay, maybe if I get more sleep, okay, maybe if I, you know, work out more, maybe if I do this or do that. But you just hit the nail on the head, that God is our source of energy. And this applies whether, you know, for some reason we think that, you know, that the rules of God only applies to Christians, but
it doesn't.
Made all of us in His
exactly.
image.
And that's kind of what I was trying to say, that, you know, He has given each of us tools that we can go to. And, you know, I think most people can relate to the Psalms. You know, the Psalms are full of every single solitary emotion that a person can feel.
And it applies perfectly to human existence.
Yes, exactly.
Whether you are a Christian, an atheist, a candlestick maker, it doesn't matter.
It is really true. And we do really need to find balance. You know, it is something that I do struggle with in my own life. You know, it's...
No, go ahead.
Yeah, okay.
No, I mean, hear you. I think it's a constant struggle. Now,
yes.
Joanne did not come in here to talk about balancing life, but God just has, you know, God has just worked it out. I'm almost in tears thinking about it. Stay with us. We're going to come back and talk to Joanne again. It's a new day. See you in a moment. Welcome back to It's a New Day. I'm your host, Kathy Barnett, on 1180 WFYL. Here's a call-in number. Moms, dads, with a plate full of everything. We're talking about you right now. Give us a call at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK. Kind of chime in. I know it's not the topic of the subject right now, but we slide it in somehow. But kind of call in and talk to us. How do you deal with just the stresses of life, just the busyness of life, and trying to just balance? Do you balance things? I don't do a very job balancing things, but I do a very good job getting things done, but there's very little balance I see in the mix of it all. Something or someone is always getting the short end of a stick of me. But one of the dangers of talking live on radio, and when you have the guests in the studio, is that when we go on break, we have some of the best conversations at that moment. And so I had to stop Miss Joanne and say, save it for when we get back on air. So go ahead. Talk to us a little bit about what you were talking about.
Well, what you were sharing, Kathy, is that sometimes you don't really have time to get down on your knees and pray. You have 45 minutes. This is what you said. You have 45 minutes to get everybody up and out of the house and ready for the day so that you're walking to the shower and you're talking to God. And I said, you know, that comes under the pray without ceasing, that we are always supposed to be praying. And, you know, I said, it's like God is our friend. And, you know, yes, he is also our Lord and we are supposed to be submitted to him, but he is also somebody that we can turn to all day long to talk to him and just share our troubles and our concerns. So it's just like talking to your girlfriend, that you put your earpiece in your cell phone and you're mopping the kitchen floor and you're
folding laundry.
You're folding the laundry. You're cutting the onions for dinner and you're talking to your girlfriend for 2 hours on the telephone and your hands have been free the entire time to do everything else that needs to be done. And our relationship with God needs to be the same way, that he needs to be walking with us. We need to be walking with him because he's always walking with us, even if we don't notice. We need to be intentionally walking with him, even if that intentional walking is while we're cutting the onions for dinner, you know? And,
yes.
And sometimes it's a matter of taking the time. I find this when I'm traveling up to Jersey during tax season, and I have 45 minutes each way, I have to turn off that radio. And as much as I love listening to your program, sometimes I just have to turn off the radio. Sometimes I turn off the music. Sometimes I put down that cell phone and I say, Lord, this is your time. I had to run out of the house. I had 10 minutes before, I get up late. I have to run out the door. I'm drinking a curve shake on the way to Jersey. And I have to talk to God. And it's like, it's sometimes I'll call my sisters and sometimes I'll call my niece. But at least 30 minutes of that drive, 45 minutes each way, I'm going to be talking to my best friend that happened to be walking on the earth 2,000 years ago, but still is walking with me today.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I feel so encouraged because, again, between Satan and myself beating me up on, oh, you're not a good Christian. Oh, you didn't get on your knees today.
No.
Oh, you didn't spend that much time in the Word or any time in the Word today. But it really is. I mean, it's like I have learned of just walking and talking
exactly.
with the Lord all
yes.
day kind of thing. And it's so true because I do it so often. I want to talk to my girlfriend. I just want to hear her voice. And I put on my earphones
yes.
and I'm multitasking, which
yes.
women are really good at doing.
We're very good at doing that.
And and while I'm doing that, I'm truly connecting. Our hearts are connecting.
Yes.
Although I am folding clothes or cutting onions
exactly.
for dinner, we are having a connection.
Yes.
Our hearts are connecting. Our minds are connecting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something that is, you know, just a waste of energy and it doesn't
right.
count, right?
It
because
counts.
That's what I mean. In our culture today, we feel like if I don't get on my knees and spend, you know, an hour in my prayer closet or spend
right.
some X amount of time on Bible study, then somehow I'm not, truly lining up or truly in deep fellowship or truly engaging with God kind of thing. And it's just not true. So when you said that, I talk to my girlfriends often
right.
while with the earpiece in while I'm doing something else. And I was just thinking, I truly am having a connection with them.
You are.
And so I am having a connection with God, although
yes.
sometimes I don't feel that I'm giving it justice because I don't have the time or feel like I have the time to sit down for 2 hours or pray for however much time.
We do need to carve out that quiet time with them. We need to have that time in our prayer closet. Or if our prayer closet happens to be the side of our bed where we get down on our knees and just say, Lord, this day is yours. But one of my favorite prayers is to ask for Holy Spirit control of my mouth, what goes in and what goes out, because both of those really have an impact on my life.
Mm-hmm.
But while we need to make that time, we still need that constant feeding. And if we think about our car is not going to run forever if we don't stop to put gas in it.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're on a long trip, and each of our days, particularly as women, is a long trip, we need to be stopping constantly to be refueling that car. And we need to be refueling our lives with, you know, spirit power. And God's power is always there whenever we take the time to ask him just to refill us.
Yeah. I love that. Oh, I'm so grateful you came in.
I'm
today.
So glad I could. And, you know, one of the tools that I use is my phone. You know, somebody recently passed on an old smartphone to me. I kept saying, I don't need a smartphone. I don't need a smartphone. But I subscribe now to a couple of services that deliver either, and they're free, deliver either Bible, you know, just scripture readings for the day or commentaries and meditations. Mm-hmm. And it enables me to very quickly be in the Word first thing in the morning. It's maybe 5 minutes, and I can blow it up big on my phone while I'm getting dressed. I can be actually, unfortunately, multitasking, but it just helps to make that time possible to be in the Word on a daily basis.
Yeah, because we need it.
We need it.
I agree. Okay. Turning our attention now to your original reason of coming in. So you thought, but God has so much more plan for us today, and I'm so very grateful. But you are both a CPA, a certified public accountant, as well as a new Curves owner.
Long-time Curves owner.
I'm sorry. Yeah. You train new Curves members, right?
New Curves owners,
but you are an owner of a Curves gym in East Norton. I don't know why that's. I want to put an S in there. Norton.
Yeah.
So anyway, and we started off with me saying, how do you make a connection between being a CPA and a Curves owner? It seems like two opposite sides of the brain in operation.
It is. It is two opposite sides, but it all really comes down to service. In both of my businesses, that is my goal, is to make a difference in the life of the people that I serve. And with my members, it's a matter of improving their health, improving their well-being, sometimes just improving their connectivity to other people. And as a CPA, it is very often helping business owners figure out how they can keep more of their money so that they can survive. We live in a very difficult economy right now. And, you know, I have way too many clients that can't afford to pay their tax bills. So it's really a matter of helping people and really finding out what their pain point is. Because when you find out what their pain point is, you can help them. And for some people, it might be needing improved organization. And for other people, it might actually be, for families, it is often a matter of finding the money to save for retirement, to save for their children's education. So it's really a matter of service. In both of my businesses, I serve.
Well, okay. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about just the differences. I asked you a question earlier on between businesses and the individual itself, but then also bringing in the conversation about Curves Gym. Stay with us, guys. You're listening to It's a New Day with your host, Kathy Barnett, on 1180 WFYL. Welcome. It's a new day on 1180 WFYL. I'm your host, Kathy Barnett. The call-in number is 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK. And I love our intro music. I just do. It's like it's so poppy.
It is.
I'm ready to, like, I don't know, take on the world, take that hill for the Lord, or whatever the case. Whatever the analogy may be, but it is so exciting. In the studio with me right now is Joanne Bryson. She's a CPA for the past 30 years and the owner of a Curves Gym in East Norton. And so we were just at the beginning of our time today. You know, she came in with one topic, or I thought one topic. We were going to talk about being a CPA and a Curves owner and move on throughout our spotlight. And then she comes in just a ray of light, wealth of wisdom and insight, and just really encouraged my heart. We were just talking during the break once again that being a mother, it's just so guilt laden.
It is. It really
like
is.
You know, at the end of the day, the house is quiet. You're getting ready to close your eyes and you start thinking, you start recounting, you know, how you talk to your kids, how you talk to your husband. Did you do enough? Could you be nicer?
It's hard.
And you're constantly like, oh, you know, just want to do it better. want to do it, you know, again or something. So it's just such a guilt-laden thing. But I thought one of the things you said as we were at the beginning of our break time was just making time for prioritizing. Right. And one of the things, you know, like I was saying with mothers in our homeschool setting, we were going around asking, what do you do just for fun or for yourself or a hobby? And each of us struggle trying to come up with something because we don't spend a whole lot of time focused on ourselves. It's so much time giving to others.
It's true.
But the activity of working out, I mean, the benefits are innumerable.
Oh, it's
not
huge.
Just how you look in your jeans,
exactly.
But whether or not you get to live long
it's true.
And productive.
It's very true. And if we think about all of the things that, particularly as moms, that we struggle with being tired. Well, exercise actually helps us not to be so tired. I mean, I know it's spending energy, but it helps us to sleep better. So if we can sleep better, we won't be so tired when that alarm goes off at anywhere between 4:30 and 6:30 in the morning. So, you know, that is a definite benefit of exercise, that we're going to have improved sleep. The benefit of weight loss means that we're not carrying so much weight. The analogy that I like to tell people is, if you went to the supermarket and you had a baby carrier on the front and a backpack on the back, and you put a 5-pound bag of flour in the front carrier and a 5-pound bag of flour in the backpack, and you started walking around that supermarket, you're going to want to take that off really fast. And it's the same way with when we're carrying an extra 10 pounds, it makes us more tired because we're literally carrying extra weight all day long. So that tiredness is one thing, but the endorphins, that feeling good that working out gives us, means that we're going to be a little bit less sharp with our children. And it's really a matter of taking the time to get the exercise in. What I love about the Curves workout, and I'm 55 years old, and for the past 13 years, the only thing I've really had time for in terms of my workout is Curves. The only weight loss program I've done is Curves. I've kept off 2 full pant sizes for 13 years and Russell can close his ears for this, while going through menopause. So it is a really challenging time for women, and it is doable. You know, it's very, very doable. So it is a 30-minute workout. I can fit 30 minutes into my workout, into my day. And, you know,
and do you have like different times of the hour? I mean, like, how does that work? Do you have different times?
The class starts when you get there. We do have structured classes. We have dance classes. We have balance classes, which are really critical as people age, that we really need to actually work on training our balance. And that's one of the other, we talked about balance, but we need physical balance as well as just balance in our lives. We have classes that are just about stretching, but all day long from 6 in the morning till 7:30 at night, people are coming in and they're there for 30 minutes to 40 minutes, depending on how long they chit chat afterwards. And they go about their day. And for some people, it's really hard to make major changes in their lives. So they may not lose weight, but they will continue to maintain a healthier weight. And a lot of studies have been showing recently that exercise is critical for heart health. That yes, losing some weight is important, but routine exercise, a thin person who doesn't exercise is more likely to die from heart disease, from a heart attack, than a heavy person who does exercise.
Yeah, you know, I was just going to mention that. I mean, all of the research on how in America we are the number one with heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
We're the number one with diabetes.
Yes.
We're the number one with so many different illnesses and ailments that directly relates to or can be positively impacted by exercise.
Exactly.
And not exercise 45 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, or twice a day, but it's something as simple as 30 minutes.
Exactly.
A day. Yeah.
30
I've been
minutes.
Reading that. Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you can't go to the gym, and of course, for women, I love the Curves workout, but if you can't make it to the gym, even just making the time to walk. And I've had some members who I really want them to add walking because they need honestly the additional weight loss, that just burning those extra calories. But a lot of them, they also really need those additional endorphins. When people are depressed, the exercise is going to help. And if they're not willing to commit to that strength training and cardiovascular training that we do at Curves, at least add the walking. So if you don't want to walk outside, if it's too hot or when the winter comes, if it's too icy, go to the mall. Walk the mall. The Plymouth Meeting Mall is a great place to walk. Just leave your credit card in the car. I've had people who they don't want to drive someplace. Find a hallway in your house and power walk a hallway. I mean, my cats and my husband and my son think I'm crazy, but if I have to get my steps in at night, I'll go walking around my bedroom. Mm-hmm. You know, they've gotten used to it.
Yeah.
We have to walk.
Do you have a Fitbit?
I don't, but I wear a pedometer.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
First thing of the day, it goes on. Last thing at night, it goes off.
Yeah. And how many?
My goal is 10,000.
10,000.
My norm is about 6,000, mm-hmm. but I'm happy when I hit 8.
Awesome. Yeah. You know, I mean, and now let's turn real quickly, because not only are you an owner mm-hmm. of a Curves Gym, but you're also a CPA.
Yes.
So I'm assuming that's a thriving business as well.
You know, it's a growing business. I had been in corporate America and really got burned out on corporate America. So I really wanted to be out of the finance world. So, which is really why I originally turned to Curves. I wanted to serve, and in corporate America, I just felt stifled.
Yeah.
You know, what I've often said, it was all about just really making men rich. And now in Curves, I really have the opportunity to
really
make women.
Really making what?
Men rich.
Men rich.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that mm-hmm. literally I spent 8 years selling mm-hmm. businesses, and that's what I did. Mm-hmm. At Curves, I really have an opportunity to make women healthy. But what I have found is that God really brought me to a place where I needed to reengage that other part of my brain that he had given me, that skill that he had given me as an accountant that for really about 5 years I wasn't using. And he really brought me to a place where I needed to use it, and at the same exact time brought somebody back into my life who said, I really need your help. And as a CPA, what I really have found is that I also can serve. It's not just about making men rich. It's about helping people and helping businesses solve their needs. So I had one client that she had papers everywhere every time I walked into her office, and it was such an enormous stressor for her. So we just developed a system, very simple, you know, not an accountant type system for paperwork flow. It was a system that somebody who is a stacker could very easily use to keep track of things. So even though a very inexperienced bookkeeper could help her with her paperwork flow, she needed somebody to just kind of help organize her. I have another client that just changing the form of his business is going to save him $8,000 this year in his taxes.
Right.
It's not, you know, like nothing else fancy is going to be happening. It's just, he's going to be running the business the same exact way. It's just the way that he's reporting to the IRS is going to be different. So it's really about still helping people meet their needs so that they can spend more time with their kids, that mm-hmm. they can make it home to have dinner with their husband, or simply so that they can start saving for their children's education or their own retirement.
Yeah, and now you work with both businesses
and
individuals.
The
individual.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, do you see a big? I would assume there would be a big difference.
There is a big difference, but it is always about finding what is that person's need and helping solve that need. So if
organizing is that need, then you
yes.
help them with kind of creating a simple bookkeeping method that
exactly.
works for the individual. Right,
exactly.
Right. But if it's a reorganization of your business,
I can work on that, and I have worked on that.
Yeah.
And one of the things I really like to ask people is, what else can I do to help you? And that's when you start finding out people's pain points. You know, where are they struggling? But with families, so often it's, I don't have the money to do the things I want to do. And I will be more than happy to help people find that money. I'm not able to sell investments, but I can direct them to a person who can help them.
Sounds good. Hey, listen, guys, we're talking to Joanne Bryson. Stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to It's a New Day on 1180 WFYL. Get ready to call us, 610-539-TALK. We're going to come back and finish talking with Joanne. And welcome back to It's a New Day with Kathy Barnett, your host. Of 11 on 1180 WFYL. That call-in number again is 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK. And now we're closing out our spotlight with Miss Joanne. But I wanted to allow you to be able to tell people how they can get in contact with
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. My, I've I have two web addresses since I have two businesses. One is cpahelpnow.com. That's cpahelpnow.com. And my Curves, to get, you know, Curves, it's just curves.com. You can find us, you know, there's a zip code locator. And my number as an accountant is 610-924-4520. And Curves is 610-239-1300.
Okay, let's do that one more time. So if people want to get in touch with you from a CPA perspective, yep, needing help on how to organize their lives, yes, how to prepare for taxes, how to, yes, meet that letter. It is one of, you know, taxes, one of those things that you put off to, you absolutely it cannot is. Put off anymore. If you're in that situation, mm-hmm, you can contact Joanne by going to
cpahelpnow.com.
Yes, and if you want to get in touch with her via Curves, mm-hmm, kind of find out a little bit more about that, how her gym can help you in your situation, then you can contact her via Curves.
Yep.com,
or you can call her on
610-239-1300.
Awesome. Now, we want to turn real quickly on the balance of our time before I leave you today. Again, that number is 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK. If you want to jump in here before we get off air, and that is, I just want to look at a couple of more headlines that came out over the past week. One, Hilton Hotels abandons a dirty sideline business. They made an announcement last week that they would no longer offer adult movies in any of its branded facilities. So applause, Russell, to Hilton. I know, Russell, you got to be quicker. Yes, we want to give an applause. We want to give an applause to Hilton for making a very bold decision in the face of a culture that is going to hell in a handbasket. You, mm-hmm, can do basically whatever you want to do, and the better for you. We actually now live in a culture, you know, where we you used to be applauded if you had restraint,
yes,
in your life, right? Whether in your money, mm-hmm, your finances, whether in your tongue, mm-hmm, you don't say any and everything that, right, come to your mind. We actually looked up to people that had an ability to restrain their tongue, mm-hmm, and to have this air of, you know, I don't need to wallow in the dirt. I don't need to say, right, everything. But today you're actually applauded if you rip into someone and just share exactly what's on your mind. Like the culture looks at you like, oh, you're bold, you're fierce, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. You know, there was a time when we had restraint, yes, on our sexuality, right?
Exactly.
If you didn't show everything, you were a, right, lady, versus if you showed everything and then some, they had another, mm-hmm, title for you, kind of thing. But today, you know, if you're willing to explore your sexuality, mm-hmm, you're applauded for that.
That's
right.
True.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're like, you're fierce.
Yeah.
Right.
People really don't like looking at what God says about purity, and really just the keeping ourselves chaste and pure. And we pollute our bodies in so many different ways. We pollute our bodies sexually. We pollute our bodies with too much food, too much alcohol. And it's so accepted in our culture. And we really do need to move back to a place where we remember that there is truth, that there are consequences. And if we go against God's way of doing things, if we eat too much, if we drink too much, if we are doing things with other people,
if
we spend too much, there are consequences.
If we get angry too much.
Yes.
You know, I mean, like, anger, even. I mean, it devastates the
person
that's angry, and it, mm-hmm, devastates and pollutes everyone around.
It does.
Right? But in our culture, we say, you know what? They have a right to be angry. They have,
right,
a right to get mad. They have a right to vent.
We think we have a right to do whatever we want, and that's because we have moved away from the concept of God's absolute truth. And, you know, and that was something really that you brought up again on the break, but the, you know, we are in a society where truly anything goes. We can decide that we're black. We can decide that we are.
If you get a weave and a tan,
exactly,
you're black all of a sudden.
Exactly. You know, you can decide that you are, you know, I've decided that I don't want to be a woman anymore, so I'm just going to become a man.
And I'm going to wait till I'm 65 to do it.
Exactly. I mean, it's just crazy. And, you know, I was sharing with Kathy on the break that there is a person that is close to my family who is 13 years old and going through the process of a sex change. That at 13, we don't know what's going on. Our minds are just a jumble, because our hormones are just going crazy, and we don't really know at that point what we want out of life,
who we are.
Or, exactly.
You know, I mean, I'm feeling awkward. I don't know. My friends don't like me. Maybe I am. And then Russell, our producer, was saying, "Well, why? You know, like, doesn't she know anything about anatomy?" But it's really, you know, what she's picking up the lesson that is being taught
in the culture,
and right, because the culture is teaching you can create your own reality, whatever you want to do, whatever seems right in your own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a biblical phrase. But it is something that is being propagated throughout our culture. Whatever seems right in your eyes, do that.
Right.
And our children is watching, and they are really good students. They're picking up on the lesson that is being taught. You can create whatever reality you want. If it doesn't suit you, fine. If you want to respect the police officer, fine. If you don't want to respect the laws, and they're learning it from the highest office in our land, from president all the way down to home, that if I want to cheat on my taxes, if I want to tell a little white lie, if I want to, you know, say one thing, but it really means something different, then we can do that. They're picking up the lesson that is being taught.
That's true.
And you were saying that, you know, that you have people that look at you like you're crazy, like you have a third eye.
Yes, exactly.
That, because you're saying you disagree with a 13-year-old going through.
Or just in general, I mean, if we stand on biblical truth, we are considered intolerant in this society.
And let me just say also, biblical truth, I know we use the, you know, the adjective biblical, but the word of God applies whether you are a Christian or not a Christian.
Exactly.
It is truth no matter who you are.
Exactly.
And somehow we compartmentalize, okay, well, this is for you, and then this is for those people over there. But the word of God, he says, will not return to him void.
Right.
What he has established.
Yes.
Man and woman, and the consequences of going outside of his rules, they will not return to him void. They will reap the due effect. One way, I was telling my 9-year-old, there are good consequences and bad consequences.
Yes.
You just choose.
That's exactly
which
right.
One
There's always want. A consequence.
There's always a consequence,
yes.
Whether it's good or whether it's bad. Mm-hmm. Nothing, rarely anything is neutral. You're going to move. Rarely do we stand in one spot, even if you're in the ocean, just standing there. So you think.
Right.
After a couple of minutes, you will see that if you have done nothing to resist the current that
that's
is
true.
Coming towards you, you will drift farther and farther to your demise, right?
That is absolutely
but
true.
But in our culture, we think we're just neutral. We're just going to stand here and, you know, and just mind our own business. No, you're drifting, baby,
that's
one way
true.
Or the other.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you have the last word. You have anything you want to share?
You know, It is the word that comes to my mind is situational ethics, that whatever feels good right now is okay. And it's not. I mean, there are consequences, and we really need to remember that we have to do what God tells us to do.
You heard it here. Situational ethics. Reality exists whether you like it or not. Truth exists whether you subscribe to it or not. The word of God will not return to him void. Have a good day, everyone. See you next week.